It is ridiculous that we have chronically underbuilt for 30 years.
Gentrification is colonization.
It's a monoculture bullshit city.
People are happy to see jobs. They're not happy to see people move into their neighborhood.
They know that we have run out, and they do not care.
San Francisco is one of America's most expensive cities, and it's become the symbol of the nation's housing crisis. Last year, the Bay Area added 64,000 jobs, but built less than 5,000 new housing units. Years of this type of chronic underbuilding has led to skyrocketing real estate prices and rents. The median home price is now over the $1 million mark, and an average one-bedroom apartment rents for more than $3,500 a month.
I got priced out. I moved. Couldn't afford the rents.
If so many people are getting priced out of a market that doesn't have enough housing, why not just build more housing? It seems like a simple idea, one so obvious that free market libertarians and regulation-friendly progressives agree on it. So why can't San Francisco get it done?
The project is an embarrassment. It's a travesty.
An abomination.
I am feeling so violated.
NIMBYs, who say not in my backyard, have successfully organized against development in the region for decades by blocking new housing construction needed to meet demand.
Bit by bit, citizens have put together this, you know, system of permissions and regulation.
But there's a new counterweight to the NIMBYs that are getting noticed by the media. Activists who are saying yes to new development. The YIMBYs.
Welcome everybody to the Rally for Housing.
Sonia Traus is one of the most visible members of the YIMBY movement. She began her activism by writing letters to local officials and commiserating with friends.
Talking to your friends about politics is fine, but I just felt like we should go make these speeches in front of someone who's actually about to make a decision.
So the self-described anarchists took action and created the San Francisco Bay Area Renters Federation. Its mission? To support laws that make it easier to build, and to change the political structure of a city where any small group of people can derail a private project they deem to be a nuisance.
We are embarking on a public conversation about property rights and where should they be situated. Because currently, the way property rights are is you can't do that much to your property, you don't have that much control over it, but you have a lot of control over everyone else's around you. We want to switch the regime to you having a lot of control over your own property, but not that much over people next to you.
The YIMBY movement is attracting people from all political persuasions. They're mostly young professionals trying to counter opponents who say more development will make San Francisco lose its soul.
I agree with all of those folks that are saying that the culture here is being destroyed.
Gentrification is colonization.
And while good old-fashioned NIMBYism plays a role in the current crisis, developers face another major opposition force in San Francisco. Well-intentioned progressives who want to help the poor by only allowing certain kinds of housing to be built.
We want truly affordable housing now!
We don't need any more luxury housing. We need affordable housing, and we need it built in tens of thousands of units.
But there's a problem with this approach as well. And it comes down to the basic principle of scarcity. In a tight housing market like San Francisco, low-income, middle-class, and wealthy residents are competing with each other for the same units. Building new market-rate housing helps ease this competition by adding more supply, the idea being that today's luxury condo becomes future affordable housing.
What we need is a ton of housing. And in this case, I think the market is the only institution that is able to build the housing that we need.
But these NIMBYs contend that the private market doesn't work.
The private market will not provide the housing needed for the majority of residents in San Francisco.
Economics folks are saying over and over, supply and demand, it doesn't really apply here, it's not really working, let's try something else.
It's not even supply and demand. It's like, have you ever had the experience of trying to stuff a lot of stuff in a suitcase, right? Have you ever gone to a party and seen that the pizza was gone, but you still wanted some? I mean, it's just running out. And they know that we have run out, and they do not care. A lot of people who want to control development absolutely want to control the people here, you know, and they are absolutely thinking that if we don't build, then the type of people I don't like won't be able to come. And that is such an anathema to me. Like, that's not America, that's not California.
But the severity of the housing crisis is swinging public policy in favor of the YIMBYs. In May, Sonia and her fellow housing activists visited the state capitol to walk the halls and meet with legislators in support of Governor Jerry Brown's latest proposal that would streamline the permitting process for new housing to prevent NIMBYs from stalling proposed residential projects.
We have a system right now where we have established the rules of zoning, and instead of you follow the rules, you get your permits, we have a system where you follow the rules and then you go through multiple bureaucratic hurdles.
Laura Clark is president of Grow San Francisco, a group that favors the new legislation.
If you have anyone who opposes your project, they can put multiple roadblocks in front of it.
Some of the developments NIMBYs have stalled include 1979 Mission Street, a 10-story condo development that the NIMBYs dubbed the Monster in the Mission, a 17-acre space at Balboa Reservoir, where residents would prefer to have an empty parking lot instead of housing, and a 36-story residential building at 1481 Post, which has been negotiated for over 10 years. Laura has witnessed this process in her own neighborhood.
So they were going to take this kind of crappy, you know, cute little cottage and turn it into a two-story, two-unit building exactly like every other building. And their neighbors, who have a two-story building next door, decided that they hated that because it was going to block the light and air into their units. And so they went around and for about the like 6 or 10 blocks in the surrounding radius, put a nasty gram into everybody's mailbox saying, come out to the Planning Commission and tell them that this kind of stuff is going to destroy our community. And it filled me with rage. And I was like, this is why we have a crisis, is because each one of these little one unit projects is getting scuttled by the neighbors. That project still hasn't been built.
YIMBYs say that by opposing any new development, NIMBYs are just adding to the housing problems of the very people they're trying to help. They contend that you can't advocate for both higher property values and affordable units.
You know, I've heard progressives say, well, the solution to this is we need to tank the economy. That seems like a bad plan to me. I think that we can be more creative than that. I think that we can solve our housing crisis and have working people be able to live in the city again.
The YIMBYs will be holding their first national conference this June in Boulder, Colorado, and Sonia is scheduled to be one of the keynote speakers at the event. Her goal is to export the YIMBY platform to other cities experiencing housing issues and to create a property rights regime that favors the landowner.
NIMBYs have the advantage, they're very decentralized. You know, they see a project go up and suddenly they're activated. You know, they're like, we know what to do. I want YIMBYs to be like that too, you know, decentralized.
We need to let them know loud and clear that there is a loud constituency that truly believes that we need to solve this crisis by adding more housing in the Bay Area. If we do not get that message to them, they will continue to think that the only voting block that matters are people who oppose housing.
Cities are incredible things. They're places where freedom is possible in a way that is just not as possible in a small town. Diversity is possible. So I feel like San Francisco and the Bay Area should be taking advantage of its opportunity to build a big city.